I texted Mum to inform her of this new development. Maybe she'd actually feel a twinge of guilt about abandoning her only daughter to a woman who clearly cared more about some stupid village meeting than she did about looking after me. If Mum could drag her eyes away from her perfect new husband for long enough to check her phone, that was, which was doubtful. I pressed send, but there was no signal. Unbelievable. We weren't even in a tunnel. Was this what it was like in the countryside? I suddenly had a terrible thought. What if there was no signal at Charlbury? If I had to spend 5 days cooped up in a random old lady's flat with no way of communicating with the outside world, I would literally die. The rain was lashing down now, making long diagonal streaks on the windows. I thought about getting my sketchbook out to draw it, but then the train started to slow down. Highfield. This was it. Nobody else got out. The station was deserted. But there was one cab parked on the curb. I walked towards it and the driver opened his window. I gave him the address, trying to sound as though I gave instructions to taxi drivers all the time. He nodded, but didn't say a word, which was really creepy. I couldn't believe my godmother was actually ordering me to get into a car with a complete stranger. But I couldn't see a bus stop anywhere, and there was still no signal on my phone, so I didn't really have a choice. Within about a minute, we left the houses behind, and there was nothing beyond the rain-streaked windows but darkness. The driver stayed silent. All I could see was his thick neck and the back of his bald head. What if he wasn't taking me to Charlbury at all, but to some deserted place where he was planning to kill me and bury my body? After what felt like hours, he turned onto a narrow, winding lane. There were no other cars on the road. I felt sick with fear. I kept my fingers curled around the door handle in case I needed to make a quick getaway. He didn't look very fit. Maybe I could outrun him. Otherwise, I'd have no chance. The car slowed down. I thought I was actually going to throw up. I said frantic prayers inside my head. I'm not religious, but there was no one else to turn to. He turned off the lane onto a narrow, tree-lined driveway. In the light of the headlamps, I saw a huge old house at the end of the drive.
"Charlbury House," he said, slowing to a halt in front of it.
I felt weak with relief. I paid the fare, half my emergency money gone already, and got out of the cab. The wind was so strong that I could hardly open the door. I still felt shaky with fear, even though there was nothing to be scared of anymore. The rain was pelting down. A gust of wind whipped my hair across my face. As the taxi drove away, I pushed the long dark strands out of my eyes and looked up at the house. It was massive. A huge, ancient, spooky stone mansion. Enormous windows, with carved stone frames, and a grand flight of steps leading to the biggest front door I'd ever seen. How could Mum have forgotten to mention I'd be staying in a mansion? I walked up the steps, bumping my case behind me. A light came on above the front door, illuminating slanting rods of rain. Raindrops bounced off the stone slabs. There was a big puddle right in front of the door, where the stone had worn down. Screwed to the wall beside the door, looking completely wrong on the ancient stones, was an ugly modern row of bells and an intercom. I pressed the bell for flat 9. I waited for ages, but there was no answer. I pressed the bell again, harder this time. Nothing. Either the bell wasn't working, or she was still not home from her meeting. Honestly, you'd think she might have made a tiny bit of effort. Instead of leaving her goddaughter standing in the rain while she sat in a nice warm room wittering on about the village scone-baking crisis or whatever it was that was so much more important than collecting me from the station. Unless I'd pressed the wrong bell. I pulled my phone from my pocket to check the address. But my hands were cold and wet, and the phone slipped through my fingers. I tried to grab it, but my fingers closed around thin air and my phone splatted right into the middle of the puddle. Oh, no, 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 no! I fished it out of the water and wiped it frantically on my coat. But my coat was soaking too.